anybody else involved in our gathering so far. I meant to show you a little snippet out of the police magazine that Angela and Tony gave me before the service that had a beautiful photo of Paige and Nathan in it, and then a big photo of Nathan's graduating class with him in the back row, taller than everybody else in his line. So I didn't do that, and I've given it to Peter. So if you wanted to see that photo, catch up with them afterwards. It's a beautiful photo and helps us keep them in our prayers. I've always liked the blues. It's not Yahoo, whoopee-doo, happy clappy, hanging off the light fittings kind of stuff like, you know, Hillsong or whatever. But to me it's real. It's more reflects life. For that reason, I also like Johnny Cash. He always seems to touch something in me when I listen to those songs. Not just the, but if you really listen to a lot of his songs, they're raw, they're real. He's had a quote that you probably have read many times, explaining about why he wears black. And that's got nothing to do with me wearing this jacket today. But he says, I wear the black for the poor and the beaten down, living in the hopeless, hungry side of town. And that passage goes on. And I guess that's... as a child, you see, I thought, like a child, I thought that life would be mostly happiness and troubles every now and then. But now that I am an adult and I've grown up and I'm no longer a child, I've found that what I thought life was supposed to be, it isn't. It's mostly trouble and strife, with days of harmony and happiness now and then. Don't feel sorry for me, because I've learnt more through trouble than I have through ease. And I've grown more when things are not going my way than when they are. Take this next beatitude, for example. God blesses those who mourn. This is Matthew 5, verse 4. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. What's the golden rule about interpreting the scriptures? There are many golden rules, I suppose, but what's one of the big golden rules about interpreting the scriptures? Context, exactly right. This mourning of verse 4 is connected with verse 3. Remember, we looked at verse 3 last week. God blesses those who are poor, those who realize their need for him. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When God gives us a recognition of our spiritual poverty, we mourn. We don't mourn because we are not like other people that we might admire and look up to. We're not like those who mourn because they want what others have. We don't mourn because our kids are not as well behaved as somebody else's kids. We mourn because we are not more like Christ than we are. We mourn that we're poor in purity. We mourn that we're poor in love and compassion. And this recognition of that, which is a God thing, God brings that to us. It breaks our heart. But in that is the blessing. This mourning is a great blessing because with it, God brings us to that point of realizing that we need him. don't just need him now and then, but we need him all the time. Coming to that point of realizing that we need him is exactly the place where God wants us to be. And that's our comfort. Darkness comes before the dawn. Brokenness comes before the blessing. Crying comes before the comfort. Let's look at that Psalm 30 that Marilyn read to us before. That's what that's all about, isn't it? Psalm 30. Let's start partway through, verse 6. We can all relate to this. When I was prosperous, I said, my translation says, nothing can stop me now. Your favour, Lord, made me as secure as a mountain. Here we are, you and I, in these points in our life where we're self-satisfied, where we're at ease, where we're conscious that, you know, things are going well, things are going in a good sense. But verse 7 continues and says, but then you turned away from me. My translation says, and I was shattered. I think Marilyn said, I'm in dismay. Has God really turned away from us? Has God really abandoned us? But in some way, shape or form, we feel it. We feel as if he's not there anymore. And it's in that time, verse 8, we cry out to him. I cried out to you, O Lord, and begged you for mercy, saying, what will you gain if I die? If I sink into the grave, can my dust praise you? Can it tell of your faithfulness? Hear me, O Lord. Have mercy on me. Help me, O Lord. Then go back up to verse 5. Second part of verse 5. Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes with the morning. That's a very, very important principle, isn't it? Don't think of night and morning as necessarily 24 hours. They can be seasons. It can be weeks, months, years. For some people, it might be the whole of their life is the night. And for them, joy will come with the dawning when the morning star. Jesus is described as the morning star in the book of Revelation when he comes. Weeping may last through the night. That's what happens there in that verse, end of verse 7. God allows us to feel our neediness and we are shattered and we cry out to him. But then joy comes in the morning. Verse 10, hear me, O Lord, have mercy on me, help me, O Lord. Verse 11, you've turned my mourning into joyful dancing. You've taken away my clothes of mourning and have clothed me with joy, that I might sing praises to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I give you thanks forever. This is what the Lord Jesus is talking about, isn't it, in Matthew 5, verse 4. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Nobody, I don't believe anyway, knew this lesson more than the busted and the belted apostle. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Roland read to us. That's what he's talking about there, isn't it? When Paul was a Pharisee, and he was called Saul, his theology was that God's blessing on his life was shown in his power, in his comfort, in his ease, in his position of success as a Pharisee, looking down on everybody else, thanking God, like, you know, the parable Jesus told, that he's not like other people, especially this dirty, rotten, stinking, lousy sinner over here in the corner. Saul hadn't heard what Gary shared with us today, hadn't come to realize that yet. But then when Saul gets converted and becomes Paul and becomes a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, then struggles came. I love the way he's so realistic. I don't know why we don't have this more realistic perspective on what life ought to be like. Not that it needs to be exactly as it says here in verse 8. Nobody wants to go off and, you know, sort of have the martyr complex kind of thing. But we do get into so much trouble, I think, when we expect things that we don't really need to expect. But we think God's promised some things that he hasn't promised. He's promised his presence. He's promised that his grace will be sufficient for us. He's promised that in the midst of it all, he is there. And when we realize that, like the psalm says, know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. I think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, he says in verse 8, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed. We were overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure. Don't spiritualize this. This is real. The clanking of the chains are real. The flogging of the whip is real. The rats, the cold, the hunger, the shredded clothes, the loneliness, the fear, the anxiety, they're real. We were crushed. We were overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure, and we thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die. And yet we read that he starts off by saying in verse 3, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father, and he is the source of all comfort. It seems strange, does it not, when he's going through what he is? Look back at that verse 9. In fact, we expected to die, but as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely only on God, who raises the dead. So even if the worst possible thing that we could imagine might happen, which would be death, I suppose, even there, we're ushered into an even greater experience of God's love and grace and comfort and presence. What could be better than that? And yet, obviously, that's not a death wish. That's just a realization that if the worst comes to the worst, nothing changes. God continues to hold us. So, in the midst of this situation where he's expecting to die, he's learning to rely on God. And he goes on in verse 10 to say that God rescued him. But when he was going through those times, he didn't understand that God would rescue him. But he goes back here, and so let's go back to that verse 3. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. Verse 4, he comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. So in the midst of the mourning, and in the midst of the turning to the Lord for the comfort that only he can give us, there is blessing in that God uses us then to be a blessing to others who are turning to God in their troubles or in their struggles. And we, from a position of compassion, can care, support, encourage, comfort, even if it's just by being there with them. That's the most important thing, is just to turn up. So, verse 5 says, for the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ. And even when we are weighed down with troubles, it is for your comfort and salvation. For when we ourselves are comforted, we'll be certainly able to comfort you. Then you can patiently endure the same things that we suffer. And we're confident that as you share in our sufferings, you also share in the comfort that God gives us. It was through him getting busted and belted. And we can spiritualize that in a sense. Some of us are not physically belted and busted, but we are emotionally, or personally, spiritually, we're in a battle. We're in a war zone. But it was through that belting and busting that he found the blessing of God with him in the midst of that. You cannot experience that from the outside. You cannot experience that looking through the window. You can only experience that kind of blessing, that kind of presence of God, that kind of closeness of God, that kind of comfort of God in the midst of being in you. That, I think, is what Jesus means. In Matthew 5, verse 4, God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Loving Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help us as we are learning, as we are learning to trust you. And that part of that is you, with tears, I suppose, but in love, allowing us to be overwhelmed at times, that we might realize that nothing, and help us to share this source, trust you to be their Lord and their Savior. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.